Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We said last time that God is knowable, and He is. But the fact is, as we also read last time from Romans 1, people are running from the truth, not toward it. When they heard the sound of God walking in the garden, they sought to hide themselves. If you would open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 6. The book of Ezekiel is filled with hard things, but there is a refrain that runs through this book, and you'll see it if you pay attention again and again in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 6, look at verse 7. The slain will fall among you, and you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 8, yet I will leave a remnant when you are scattered among the nations, for throughout the countries there will be some of you who will escape the sword. Then your survivors will remember me among the nations where they are taken captive, how I was crushed by their promiscuous hearts that turned away from me and by their eyes that lusted after their idols. They will loathe themselves because of the evil things they did, their detestable actions of every kind, and they will know that I am the Lord. I did not threaten to bring this disaster on them without a reason. Look at verse 13. You will all know that I am the Lord when their slain lie among the idols around their altars on every high hill, on all the mountaintops and under every green tree and every leafy oak, the places where they offered pleasing aromas to all their idols. I will stretch out my hand against them, and wherever they live, I will make the land a desolate waste from the wilderness to Diblah. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Boy, that's a fearsome message. But God is saying that in the display of His wrath, His people will know that He is the Lord. Would it be kinder to let people continue in sin, refusing to acknowledge Him? Would they be better off? Would we be better off not knowing Him and continuing in things that are an abomination in His sight? Well, if I try and put things in perspective, I can embrace the necessity of God's wrath. But over in chapter 24 of Ezekiel, it becomes much more painful, much more difficult. Ezekiel 24, beginning in verse 15. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I am about to take the delight of your eyes away from you with a fatal blow, but you must not lament or weep or let your tears flow. Groan quietly. Do not observe mourning rites for the dead. Put on your turban and strap your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your mustache or eat the bread of mourners. I spoke to the people in the morning. My wife died in the evening. The next morning I did just as I was commanded. Then the people asked me, "Won't you tell us what these things you are doing mean for us?" So I answered them. The word of the Lord came to me. Say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. I am about to desecrate my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the delight of your eyes, and the desire of your heart. Also, the sons and daughters you left behind will fall by the sword. Then you will do just as I have done. You will not cover your mustache or eat the bread of mourners. Your turbans will remain on your head and your sandals on your feet. You will not lament or weep, but will waste away because of your iniquities and will groan to one another. Ezekiel will be a sign for you. You will do everything that he has done. When this happens, you will know that I am the Lord God. I am your faithful servant. I am the prophet who is despised by many because I tell the truth, because I tell what you have said, Lord. And now you're going to kill my wife? God says, I'm going to kill your wife. It's about to happen. And sure enough, it happened. This wasn't a metaphor, but not literally true. This literally happened to the prophet Ezekiel. And God not only took his wife from him, but he said, you're not allowed to mourn. What gives God the right to do stuff like that? How about the fact that he is the creator of all things? The only reason that life has value is because God has given it value. The only reason that we have husbands or wives is because God made us male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. God gave you life. God gives you a spouse if he chooses to. God gives purpose and meaning and value to life. But everything is his. But how could he take Ezekiel's wife? Well, every day, all across our country and all around the world, people lose a spouse, lose a child, lose a parent. What makes this so extraordinary is not that somebody's wife died. It's that God said, this is about to happen. And here's how you're to respond. And here's the meaning and the way I'm going to use this to communicate a message, to reveal myself. That's what made this different, not the fact that somebody died. The message today is about the fact that God is not only real, the God of the Bible is real. The God of the Bible is knowable. And the God of the Bible is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't just kind of trust him. Have you ever had an automobile that you kind of trusted? You know what I'm talking about. It's like, well, I think it'll get us there. I'm sorry, but that's the way a lot of people are with God. I'm going to trust God, and if this doesn't work out, then I've got a plan B. And God is forever putting his people in situations where there is no plan B. If you're going to be obedient to God in this situation, there is no plan B. God did that all through the scriptures with person after person. Abraham. God wanted him to change his name. He ordered him to change his name in order to make it even more preposterous. It would only make sense if God kept his promise. But you see, God keeps his promises. God is trustworthy because he never lies. He always fulfills his promises. And he is absolutely in control of the universe and able to bring about his will. In situation after situation, as Jesus redefined, people say, well, okay, I don't think this is going to work then. But on one of those occasions, when Jesus was talking about how a person can be saved, he said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. We try and come up with plan B. Well, if this doesn't work, then I'll do this. Jesus says, no, this is God's plan. And when it comes to salvation, this is God's plan. There's only one way. No one comes to the Father except by me, Jesus said. That's extremely narrow. That's extremely exclusive. That is the absolute truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Abraham had to believe God. And then when God gave him that miracle baby, laughter, which is what Isaac means, God said, now I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice to me. Impossible. You said this would be the child through whom the whole world would be blessed. I'm supposed to be the father of nations. I mean, come on. God put him in an impossible situation, and he believed God. And once again acted in obedience. Because God's trustworthy. Moses, sent back to the place that he had fled 40 years earlier as a wanted man, and told to go and confront the ruler of all Egypt and tell him, God says, let my people go. And then when God led them out, God brought them to the brink of the Red Sea. Why does God do this kind of stuff? I'll say this over and over and over. If there's a theme that recurs in my preaching as I move through the scriptures, this is one of those themes. God puts us in scary situations, not in order to frighten us, but in order to teach us not to be afraid. To teach us to live fearlessly because we're trusting in him. So Moses, David facing Goliath, David being chased by Saul, learning to trust in God, Daniel, and his friends. Mary, who's told when she's already engaged but is still a virgin, God is going to give you a child. This is impossible. Well, not with God. The disciples, again and again, were put in situations by the Lord where they had to choose to trust and obey. But when you choose to trust and obey, you are walking in the way that Jesus himself walked. Now, oh, Jesus was God. Yes, Jesus is God, but Jesus is also man. He was human, and he was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knew what it was to be physically tired. Jesus knew what it was to be sleepy. Jesus knew what it was to be frustrated and angry. And it wasn't sinful. Jesus knew what it was to pray in the garden. Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus, who is our great high priest, who was made perfect by that which he suffered. If you would, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll start in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Not only that, but we ourselves, who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now, in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not spare even his own Son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How trustworthy is God? Completely. Completely trustworthy. He has demonstrated his love for us as being so great that he did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all. If God loved you enough when you were a sinner to send Jesus to the cross to bear the wrath that you deserve, now that you are God's dearly loved child, do you think he's going to let you down? Say, well, but if he offered up his own son, doesn't that mean that he might offer me up in some sacrificial death? Yeah. In fact, Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Well, I didn't want that. A lot of us love that line, Jesus paid it all, forgetting the next line, all to him I owe. So I wanted to have my own life. That isn't the purpose for which we were redeemed. We were redeemed in order that we might fulfill the glorious plan that God has for each of us. Do you really think that you have devised a better plan for your life than God's? Well, I mean, when you put it like that, no, I don't think that. Well, then just relax. But you're talking about a cross. Yes. He can be trusted. Jesus says, if you trust and obey, it's going to be costly. There will be people who will mock you. There will be people who will lie about you. There will be people who will oppose you and even persecute you. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. I remember when I was in college, going to an older Christian that I respected and saying, I'm concerned because my life is easy. And he looked at me and he said, well, your life is not over. He was right. I've gone through very little persecution. There have been a couple of times in my life where I suffered physically because of opposition from those who hated truth and hated God, but very few. My sufferings cannot compare to the Apostle Paul, but my rewards won't either. My prayer is not that I'll avoid pain. My prayer is that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death, by any means might attain the resurrection. Do you want to know him? Take up your cross. He's trustworthy. He offered himself for you because he loves you. And you don't have to be afraid to trust and obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.